It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with Don Wyatt, and we're both of OK Safe. Our website is ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. Lots of good information there. We have a new webpage called the China Connection, or just China Connection. And Don, there's information there that has to do with the U.S. Governor's China Forum.
That's right.
Yeah. That event that the media didn't cover very well.
Yeah, we did a good show on it, though. So.
You did. You did. You hosted that. But we covered it, and OK Safe had a representative there. That would be you. It was I. And a write-up on two transcripts from the U.S.-China 2011 Trade, Culture, and Education Conference. And if you're not aware of it, China is investing in your state, and you need to be alerted to this fact and be in touch with your governor to start the pushback against this foreign direct investment into our states.
There was a real good story on the front page of the Tulsa Beacon this week below the fold on that subject, and then there's other events related to that same subject that you and I talked about yesterday.
We're going to have to get that, you're right, Don, and we're going to have to get that resolution up and out to other people.
We will.
And you can put that on your
boondoggleblog.com.
And what kind of issues do you discuss on Boondoggle Blog?
Well, the subtitle for Boondoggle Blog is Useless Work Paid For with Public Money. And the idea there is that we're hunting for inappropriate or wasteful uses of our taxpayer dollars, and we are finding them almost every place we look.
Big surprise.
Stunning.
Maybe
shocking.
Not a big surprise. What we knew all along. And, again, the website for that, web address?
boondoggleblog.com, just like it sounds, boondoggleblog.com.
This was a spelling contest.
It was, yes.
All right.
I usually lose.
You did fine. just put in Boondoggle Blog in your search engine, and that will come up. We have a special guest today, Kay Beach, who is an excellent researcher and an independent researcher in the state of Oklahoma. Her website is Axiom for Liberty. And before we get to her, though, because we've got an important follow-up subject on the FEMA remapping efforts across Oklahoma and across other states.
Exactly.
And she's got some great information. She did a lot of research on it. And before we get to Kay, you have an update on Tulsa County. Now, we're broadcasting from the great state of Oklahoma.
That's right.
And if you just listen to this, it's not just about Tulsa, because it's probably going to, in fact, be the similar activity or egregious accounting practices are being practiced in the city you live in.
These behaviors are probably universal and ubiquitous. Yes, I had the privilege this week of sitting in for a recorded half-hour segment on Eddie Huff's radio show. That'll be airing live here in the Oklahoma, Tulsa area from 4 to 6 this afternoon. That's Central Daylight Time.
That'll be archived, because this is
that's
archived.
Right. But it'll also be available on their blog or their podcast.
That's on another radio station.
It's alive, a real radio station as opposed. No, that's the wrong way to say it.
It's alternative one of the, radio.
It's one of those government regulated radio
stations. This
station.
Is real
this
radio.
Is the real
we're
radio.
We have to reprogram
exactly.
You, Don. This is the real radio. That's another radio.
That's the old-timey radio.
Yes.
They can be found at 1170kfaq.com. That's the way you get their website, and look for Eddie Huff, and you can pull his archived programs down. I talked about what we've been involved with on the Tulsa Taxes Task Force and the protests that I've filed against four of the budgets and the escalation of that up to, but not yet through, the Court of Tax Review. So there's a lot of really good information there.
And that's all discussed on the Eddie Huff Show, which plays on Sunday afternoons, and that'll be archived.
Correct.
And anybody hearing this program will have to go to the archives to hear that.
Correct.
But the important aspect of that is that it's citizen involvement and watching what your local elected officials are engaged in.
Absolutely.
And challenge them on their on the budgetary process, plus on their accounting practices.
Absolutely.
There was an audit of Tulsa County, and they found serious their accounting errors.
Yeah, concerns.
Concerns.
And it's a classic case of, as a radical guy once wrote, know the rules, use the rules. And so we've tried to learn what the rules are for forming taxpayer protests against the budget process. And we have used those rules, much to the shock, surprise, and chagrin of some establishment folks, probably in the first time ever in the history of Oklahoma, to file protest and get a court hearing against the budget process.
And this is important because this is our money being wasted.
A lot of it.
Millions of dollars.
In the vicinity of $150 to $200 million. That's right.
This is not small potatoes, then.
No, this represents about a 15 to 20% of all the property taxes that will otherwise be collected in this county that are being collected, we believe, in error.
That's a big subject. Our pocketbooks would really appreciate truthful accounting. Truthful weights and measures at the county level.
You'd sure think so, and you'd certainly think when the economic times are difficult that the government would share in that difficulty, would feel our pain, as Bill Clinton might have said. And they don't seem to be wanting to do that. They seem to be wanting to do business as usual, bigger and better all the time at our expense.
At our expense. Well, congratulations. Thank you for doing that. So we'll have to tune into that. We can discuss it when you get a resolution on that court case.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to get ready to talk to our guest, our special guest. And this is a dear friend of mine and somebody whose research I trust implicitly because she cares to do good research, as she calls it, pristine. And she's a seeker of the truth and somebody who does her very level best to stand up for what's right and actually act on that. She's done some great research on the FEMA flood mapping, which is designating how it was brought to our attention. We had guests on last week, are David McLean and Margaret Snow were our guests.
That's right.
Recounting, one of them successfully rebuffed the efforts to map their property as flood zone. The other one, Margaret Snow, had a different outcome in that she was surprised when she went to the bank to get a refi on her house, refinance a loan, that she was at that point informed that her non-flooding property, which had been in the family since 1946, was now designated Zone A high-risk flood zone, causing her to have to get...
She simply couldn't afford the refinance.
Could not afford the refinance, right? Because it changed the value of her the assessed value of her property.
Correct.
And in fact, it reduced the assessed value of her property by 50%.
It did, or at least the appraised value.
Appraised value.
The assessed value is another very important issue because if this is left to proceed the way it is. Counties that are relying on assessed value for property taxes are going to be adversely affected big time.
And where do you think they'll get the money?
They'll get it from all the rest of us.
Yeah, more taxes. All right. Well, Kay has done some excellent research, and she's got a website, Axiom for Liberty. And without any further talk on our part, Kay, are you there?
I am. Thank you for such a nice introduction, Amanda. I appreciate that.
We're always delighted to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you about this, and I'll tell you why. A few months ago, I was researching the stormwater plan, comprehensive stormwater plan in Norman, and I found a whole lot of information.
Norman, Oklahoma. We want to make sure we're...
The home of the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah, not normal. Yep. Norman.
They had a 1,000-page, stormwater plan that I ended up doing a lot of research that wasn't exactly... directly pertinent, at least not at the moment. I couldn't do much with it is the thing, but I found some things that were very startling about FEMA and their new floodplain management plan. And so when I heard your show last week with the two individuals in Oklahoma that have had some interesting interactions with FEMA regarding the floodplains, I'm actually excited and relieved because I can take all of this information that I have that's very important and attach it to something. And I also went back and research the history, and I've got a little bit better handle on what's going on with all of this now.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. We've already laid out what the problem is, that people's non-flooding property in Oklahoma is being designated as being in a Zone A high-risk floodplain or flood zone, causing them to have to buy or forcing them to buy flood insurance from the federal government.
The only source of flood insurance.
The only source of flood insurance.
Not like a monopoly or anything.
Devaluing the property, the value of their property, causing them to not be able to use that property as collateral.
Right.
And it does affect their wealth.
Absolutely.
And their right to use their property in a manner that they desire. So it's an egregious thing that's happening. So that's the situation. It's happening in your state. And let's go back onto the history, how we got here. What did you find?
Well, there's two parts to this that jump out at me. There's probably more, but these two. Number one, this National Flood Insurance Program is it's a fundraising effort, if you will. And that's not my opinion. That's what FEMA has said. Basically, after Katrina, they're broke. And so the way to replenish that and to pay for these other disasters are to bring a whole lot of new people into the pool.
Well, there was another option which certainly wasn't viable, and that was to increase the rates to all of those that were legitimately covered for flood exposure to the proper exposure cost level, and that would have been prohibitive.
Right. Well, you know, so for one thing, they're trying to, I think there are $20 billion in the hole from that.
Right.
So they're trying to regain that money. The money that goes to the National Flood Insurance Program apparently goes right into the Treasury to pay for that. The other part of this that is probably the thing that caught my attention first is the land use control of the land.
Exactly.
And it's pretty well established that FEMA and most of these federal agencies are all on board with the UN Sustainable Development or the American version of Sustainable Development, which are both horrible. I've got some documents that really show that happening directly, but I think that's pretty well established. But FEMA is being used as an instrument to implement sustainable development. And here's what they did. They decided quite a few years ago, you know what? What if we take hazard mitigation and bring in some of this environmental protection, sustainable development, we roll that into there? Because the government is allowed to do a lot of things to protect health and safety. They're allowed to do that. We give them great leeway on that. And so if they roll in some of these other desired goals into hazard mitigation, I guess that they can do a lot more. So that's very well established too. In fact, Oklahoma passed some laws. I'm going to give you just a couple of these important laws. By the way, I don't know if you guys got this, but there is a document out there. It's an Oklahoma document. It was put out February of 2011. And the document, this will answer probably most of your questions. It's called Standard Hazard Mitigation Plan Update for the Great State of Oklahoma, February 17th, 2011.
It's only 500 pages long, though, right?
It's huge. But it really lays out what's going on, and they're pretty honest about what's going on.
Can you say that name again of that document?
Oklahoma Standard Hazard Mitigation Plan Update.
Okay.
Yep. And if you type that in, it'll probably come right up. But we had the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000. It's also called the DMA. That changed the existing 1988 Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act. And what it did was it changed the whole approach from a post-disaster cleanup to a pre-disaster mitigation planning approach, which makes all the difference. It's the same thing as when we have talked about intelligence-led policing, that they are being proactive, as they would call it, or predictive, and they're trying to preempt things.
That is exactly what I was thinking when you said that. I said that's like the fusion center model, is that they were going into crime prevention mode,
right,
which means you gather up all this information on criminal and non-criminal behavior beforehand in order to predict future behavior. So this is that model applied to water and land,
yeah,
and you know, our hazards. Hey, by the way, our fusion center is an all hazards fusion center. So if this is a hazard, then that fusion center is probably going to be addressing this as one of the hazards.
Wrapped into it. I scrolled through very fast that 500-page document, and it's astonishing how broad its coverage is. It seems to touch everything you and I could think of in civilization.
Go ahead, Kay.
That's right, and the all-hazard approach is what we're using in Oklahoma as well, and the same problem applies. And also the preemptive idea, you know, this goes back to, you know, we'll talk about a water floodplain management program called No Adverse Impact. It's right. It's reminiscent of the precautionary principle, and what it does is it redefines what is an adverse impact in a very interesting way that really changes everything. But this Disaster Mitigation Act also established new requirements for local mitigation plans, and it gives states with approved mitigation plans something that's called Hazard Mitigation Assistance Grant Programs. Oklahoma has signed on to, I think, all of those with this 2011 document. And the Hazard Mitigation Assistance Grant Programs, they provide funding for mitigation activities that reduce disaster losses, protect life and property from future disaster damages. Here's what is interesting. In 2004, Congress passed the Flood Insurance Reform Act of 2004, and that's really what a lot of this is about, especially with the reclassifying of people's property into flood zones.
When was Katrina, 2005?
Yeah,
well, and this is where it gets really interesting. In 2006, what FEMA did, and this is something we encounter over and over again. In fact, the things, Amanda, I know this is true with you too, a lot of the worst aspects of law that we have dealt with have been in rules that are promulgated or in some way is an action taken by a bureaucracy on their own violation, okay? So in 2006, FEMA did something called a mid-course adjustment, and it totally changed the direction of that Flood Insurance Reform Act. Congress directed FEMA to update the flood maps, to digitize them, you know, to make it easier and to get updated information. But I think this is where FEMA, in their mid-course adjustment, decided that they were going to get some of that money from Katrina back because they were really hurting. And like I said, that money goes apparently to the U.S. Treasury to pay that back, and they needed a lot more people in it. Now, there is a fella that you'll want to look up his name. His name is Robert Rash, and he is a levee engineer from Arkansas. And
is Rash like I have a rash?
Yep.
Okay, that's R-A-S-H, okay.
Yes, he is the one, I found an interview with him, and his interview just made it very, very clear to me what's going on. He says that this program, this MAP Modernization National Insurance Flood Program that FEMA is doing will affect 40% of this country. So 40% of the people listening will have to deal with this. I don't know if that, I take it that that means that 40% of the United States is going to be relocated into a flood zone, which is ridiculous.
So we already have the rewilding of America, which is to get people
exactly.
off lands that would have otherwise been theirs.
And the protected species.
The protected species. It's like they're really
and the wetlands.
The wetland, reducing the footprint for humans. Here, and now it's going to be map modernization, and it's because there right. could be the potential in 500 years there might be a flood.
Well, it's even worse than that. There are 500-year floods that still don't touch property that they're putting into these zones. I know that from my Arizona experience.
I've heard that, too.
When you were looking at the no adverse impact, I was thinking, it's like, no adverse impact. Are they considering, obviously not, I already know the answer, are they considering the adverse impact these decisions are having on property rights and liberty?
Of course not.
No, not really. I mean, here's the problem with the no adverse impact. It basically piggybacks onto a very strong, lawful idea, which is that your right to swing your fist ends at my nose. We can't harm other people's properties. Then we're right. violating their rights. And right. that's when the law can intervene. That's what the law and the government and the police powers of the government is for, to protect those rights.
So when they build a new shopping center and pave the parking lot and drain all that water off, they have to control where that goes and engineer for it. And that's been done for years.
Right. And so what they do is what they've done is they've redefined what an adverse impact is. And this all, if you're familiar with sustainable development, this will all be very familiar to you. Here is no adverse impact. This is a floodplain management approach. And here's how they define it. Activities that could adversely impact flood damage to another property or community will be allowed only to the extent that the impacts are mitigated or have been accounted for within an adopted community-based plan. It goes on to say that the no adverse impact philosophy can shape the default management criteria. A community develops and adopts a comprehensive plan to manage development that identifies acceptable, and this is the community, right, that is identifying acceptable levels of impact, species appropriate measures to mitigate those adverse impacts, and establishes a plan for implementation. So what's going on here is they're using the consensus process, the comprehensive plans. They can say, hey, this is, you know, the community defined this. Well, number one, in our system of government, the community does not define and cannot redefine our rights. That's mistake number one.
Right.
But that's how they're doing this.
Our rights don't come from government.
Or the community.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Right, that would be Rousseau, and you can go check out the French Revolution and see how all that worked out for him. I'm not interested. So they say that this is a ASFPM is just another non-governmental organization working with a whole lot of other ones to implement sustainable development, and they're the ones that are promoting and putting out this no adverse impact. They say that it is a new direction in floodplain management consistent with the concept of sustainable development. It's about as new as the 1987 Brundtland Report, which is what they cite
right.
In their documents. So it's not really all that new. In fact, it's a pretty old. It's something with a, I don't know if you call it communitarian or communist or what, but right. It's not new. And it's not about you, the property owner. It is not about your rights. It's more about protecting the environment
from you. It's becoming more brazen. That's what it is. That's what's new about it.
It is.
Yes.
It's not new, but you've probably read Frederick Bastiat's The Law.
Yes.
I go back to it all the time.
He characterized this type of activity by the government as legalized plunder.
Exactly.
That which you and I would not be allowed to do, the government can do. And this is taking of property. This is stealing.
It is. For whatever lofty goals or legitimized reasons in whoever's mind, it is an institutionalization of theft.
The supermen mind.
There you go.
The supermen, the elite among us, and it like that would not be us, but we're going to fight it because they're wrong.
Terribly wrong, and this is hugely important. If we allow them to redefine what a right is. We have nothing. And I'll give you a quote by James Madison. He said, as man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. All of our rights are property.
Right.
Are we going to allow our neighbors, the community, are we a democracy, that they're going to define what our rights are? That is dangerous. It does not work.
That's right.
Now Oklahoma is examining all things water, above the ground, below the ground, the drilling, the damming. By the way, I've learned something while we were looking at this.
Treaties.
A pond is a dam. In their mind, you have to get, that's considered a dam, and there could be adverse impact if you have a pond that feeds your cattle on your property. And you have to get, if it's a certain size, you have to get a permit from the state, and then you have to come out and decide whether it's going to have adverse impact. So I learned something new. Again, that pond is a dam. And if a pond can be a dam, then I guess a rain barrel could also be considered a dam, too, if you capture.
Sure. Water puddles, potholes. Those are all dams, huh?
Something that you have on your property that is capturing water. Mm. And this is that slippery slope that leads toward absolute control of every right that you have. And the water is publicly owned. Oh, my producer has experience with this.
That's
He's giving me a note saying the water is publicly owned.
That's right. It's a public good.
Well, I think our Indian tribes are taking issue with that. They're
right.
apparently standing up and fighting for their sovereign rights, unlike a lot of us.
We may actually be on the same side on an Indian issue.
We may wind
this
up being. That's right.
I'm rooting for
them. That is not any kind. Do not email OK Safe. We do not take a position on the Indian thing. But
by the way, if you think we're all crazy and schemers and conspiracy theorists, there's a few sentences I want to read when we come back from break from an article called FEMA's Flood of Falsehoods that was provided to me by Kay. Thank you for finding it, Kay. That
Very
I think summarized this and emphasized this and reinforced what Kay's been saying. It is really astonishing.
We're going to be right back after the break at the bottom of the hour. Our guest today is Kay Beach at Axiom for Liberty. And we're discussing water and water rights and FEMA flood remapping projects. Stick around.
Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless, when you're serious about communication.
And welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. And we're back in studio with our special guest today, Kay Beach of Axiom for Liberty. And could you please, Kay, give folks your website address? And let's get back to the interview here. I also like to tell people when you're done with the web address how they can find the Oklahoma Water Resource Board's comprehensive development proposal.
Okay, my website is axiomforliberty.com. That's axiom with two X's, A-X-X-I-O-M for liberty.com. And the Water Resources Board, you've got that document, don't you?
I do. And the website for the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, this is one of those authorities, boards, and commissions that the people are not aware of that are actually making rules and regulations that govern your life in Oklahoma, and there's over 150 of them in operation, is www.owrb.ok.gov. That'll take you to the homepage. So it's Oklahoma Water Resource Board, owrb.ok.gov. And if you go there, you will find an update. And I'm going to read this paragraph, and you probably saw it too, Kay. 2012 update of the Oklahoma Comprehensive Water Plan. Comprehensive and government are two words. If they're paired together, your antenna needs to go up because you're going to be losing liberty.
Right.
The 2012 Oklahoma Comprehensive Water Plan update, a five-year effort conducted by the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, is nearing completion. During the final year of development and prior to formal submittal to the governor and state legislature in February 2012, the Oklahoma Water Resource Board and its planning partners will continue to solicit important input from stakeholders, citizens, and others with a vested interest in the future of Oklahoma's water resources. We have now, this is the end of August 2011, this final report and their findings will be presented to the Oklahoma legislature and the governor on February 2012. We have a narrow window of opportunity to gather information together and get that information to the state's attorney general to protest why we're doing this, because we already have evidence that they're using bogus maps,
right,
to make these floodplain designations, flood zone designations, to get your name, your property situation, all your paperwork in order, and get that information to Scott Pruitt, the state's attorney general, to examine this issue.
Plus, there's a really cynical, unholy alliance between FEMA and other representatives of the federal government with the state bureaucracies and even county and community governments.
I also just saw another notice on their website. It says, citizens wishing to provide comment or feedback on the discussion draft should email, call, write, or visit the agency no later than 12 p.m. on September 8th, 2011, in order to provide the board's 9 board members adequate time to review comments in advance of their September 13th meeting. So we have limited amount of time, and if you're hearing this broadcast after that fact, I would not be discouraged. You need to continue to make your case.
Absolutely.
All right, Kay, let's pick up where we were.
Well, I will definitely be submitting. Here's the thing. With what is going on with FEMA's map modernization, it won't be any trouble to prove that it is arbitrary, that it's capricious, that it is a fundraising effort.
Scam.
All of these things are coming from some of our congressmen. They've said it themselves. Now, so I guess what the trick will be is to see if our government finds that there's a problem with that. And that's where the people come in.
That's right.
Okay, you looked into this letter of map amendment, this LOMA letter. So not only can you be designated as a floodplain or in being in a flood zone, but you can get a get out of jail card free, sort of free, but you have some options to not be in a flood zone. That tells you that these maps have no integrity, because
right,
either you're in a flood zone for real or you're not.
Right. They're not based on risk. They're based on something totally different.
Actual risk versus, you know, potential risk. Anyway, so let's talk about the LOMA letters. You have the information on that, right?
Well, when I looked into it, there were like seven. The LOMA was the the easiest. In fact, there is a little bit of a grace period there, and this may account for the difference in what David and Margaret were told. David was told it wouldn't cost him anything, which probably wasn't exactly true. Right. But within a certain time after you've been designated, they will apparently look at it for you. But there's about seven different things, at least five different things that you can do to change your designation on the map, ranging from the LOMA, which should be just an error correction. And apparently, if you just push back a little bit like David did, they'll say they were in error. They don't want you to get mad. But all the way up to...
Well, they really don't want this process investigated thoroughly because they know it won't stand up to scrutiny.
They don't want people having a fit about it. But if you've looked out there, if you looked around online, there are people in communities all over this country.
That's right.
That are pointing out these very same things. So proving that this is a bad program is not going to be a problem. But the process, to me, you could actually, there was one process you could go through where you actually move earth and actually redevelop the land,
right,
which is going to cost thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so you can just see, with the lack of integrity that FEMA has demonstrated, some wealthy landowner going, hey, you know, okay, I moved some dirt. How's that? And that's the problem. It looks as though it's arbitrary and capricious, and there's evidence that it is. That's not right.
It also excludes people who don't have the money to get an earth mover and somebody, an engineer, to shoot the grade of their property and know where to move the earth. And all of a sudden, you've got people who were comfortable in their homes. They knew where the water was and wasn't on their land, now having to make decisions to do something that's completely unnecessary to begin with.
Oh, and like Margaret Snow educated us last week about, it's not just any old engineer that can come out and survey that for you. They have to be specifically licensed for this kind of surveying, as if it mattered.
And it's probably worth bringing up that in 2007, our Association of Floodplain Managers here in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Association, which are all, you'll see CFM by their name. That means Certified Floodplain Manager. Right. That means that they're certified by the group that is promoting the no adverse impact.
They're part of the in crowd.
They'll play by the rules.
Right.
But it's worth noting that in 2007, they wrote a letter to FEMA with a series of complaints about the process. So it's not just a few angry landowners that are having problems with this. Even the Oklahoma Floodplain Manager sent a letter to FEMA formally complaining about the maps not being accurate, about it being arbitrary, all sorts of things.
So the people with integrity within the organization realized that there was something wrong here, and they weren't going along with the agenda.
Let's hope that was the case, or maybe they just didn't think their piece of the pie was big enough.
Well, that could be.
I think there's some engineers in there, and engineers like to do it right. God love engineers, okay? They're awesome. And we have found this in traffic management. Amanda, I know you have too. But they said that there have been deficiencies in the quality and process and production of the new digital flood insurance maps and the data for Oklahoma, that the notification meetings were short. Too short for people to get it together, the local officials, inaccurate and arbitrary A-zone additions to map, changes on detailed studies, delayed schedules, non-compliant appeal period notifications. That would be for people that wanted to appeal, incomplete or missing technical data. And they also brought up something that David talked about last week. David said, why don't they use local engineers? Well, Oklahoma Floodplain Manager said local engineers could perform work the same or better quality and would likely have a better working knowledge of local floodplains and studies. Accountability and responsiveness to local communities would be better served from engineers practicing in the same state.
Right.
And I can just say, duh. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Somebody with institutional knowledge or history of what's actually happened here and what likely happens and how the water reacts to you lived in Arizona,
yes,
Don, and I would think that Arizona engineers would understand Arizona's water habits better than somebody
absolutely
from another state.
Plus, I can tell you that the technology has been in place for almost 40 years to do survey satellite imagery and to map the topography of land to within an inch or two. And to be able to judge from that just as accurately as going out on the surface of the soil with transits to shoot grades, they can do this. They just choose not to. Their goal is not a realistic assessment of risk. It's a very different goal. The goal is now raising funds and controlling land. Let me share with you a couple of brief excerpts from the article that I mentioned just before break. It's called The FEMA Scheme. Kay, you provided this to me. Thank you again. By a guy named David Tunno. And if you want to find this on the internet yourself, just do a Google on FEMA's Flood of Falsehoods.pdf. I imagine this exists in several places. But here's what I want to read simply on page 2 of that. It says, completing the motive picture, the goal here is to try to figure out why would FEMA be doing this. Completing the motive picture for FEMA is a simple matter. As would be the case with any insurance underwriter, FEMA had only two choices. And the preface to this is they'd lost a ton of money in the Katrina disaster. Number one, begin charging owners of flood-prone properties a great deal more, the real cost, to cover the risk. Or two, spread the risk over a greater number of policyholders. Choice one would likely have led to astronomical prices for policies and would have, therefore, been politically untenable. Choice two, on the other hand, carried with it one very important requirement. Adding more policyholders in actual flood zones would not solve FEMA's problem. The new policyholders must represent virtually no risk of a payment. So their intent was to annex property, call it floodplain, when they knew clearly and full well it had no risk of flooding. And the reason for that is if you're going to broaden the base of insurance payers, then you got to make sure that those new participants are not going to represent a risk that would draw money out. They're supposed to be just guys paying in. It's a really cynical scheme. I'm as upset. I already knew it happened. I've dealt with this in two locations in Arizona and here near Tulsa in Broken Arrow already. I knew this to be the case, but to see it spelled out so clearly is really troubling.
And David Tunno really demonstrates, he backs up everything he says, and he really illustrates how ridiculous these designations are.
He really does.
Here's a quote from a representative, Brian Higgins from New York. He said the National Flood Insurance Program is both in design and execution the worst federal program I have encountered in my time in the United States House of Representatives. Once vibrant neighborhoods in which flood insurance is mandated are effectively economic dead zones because this program provides perverse disincentives to home ownership and to home improvement, which over decades has effectively turned whole swaths of formerly vibrant urban neighborhoods into virtual ghost towns. And that is another part of this. So it's just sinister everywhere you look at it that it, they're moving and displacing people.
It contributes to the foreclosure crises that we're in the middle of too.
It affects the ability of you to sell your house in the future.
Exactly.
What you would gain from that selling.
Well, it puts more houses underwater, financially speaking, where the value of the home is now less than the value of the mortgage.
It also prohibits development in future development, because if it's been designated, it's a way to go in and prevent development in certain areas and incentivize development in other areas. And the other area was probably going to be the area that they wanted to send you to anyway.
That's right.
This is insidious. What this whole program is insidious. And it would be not so bad if it was actually aimed at defining where the flood problems are.
I agree that there is a legitimate purpose, a public purpose to be served in trying to predict and mitigate legitimate risk to life and property from flooding. But this has gone way off in a different direction for different reasons.
That's right. You know, David brought up, he wanted to know how his community was partnering with FEMA. Well, if you read that Oklahoma Standard Hazard Mitigation Plan, you'll see if our state doesn't participate in the NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program, we won't get any disaster relief for anything.
That's right.
Anything. And so it's a whole carrot and stick approach. And then with that acceptance of that money, you basically, you the states and the communities for the states have to implement these regulations on that land.
That's
so
right.
It's federal regulation of land.
And the regulations are not a set of goalposts that stay in the same spot. They keep moving them. And
that's
they keep
right.
moving them to the left all the time.
They
and
make
you have no
a
choice.
Mid-course correction?
Yeah. That's.
I'm going to remember that one, that word.
Mid-course correction?
Adjustment. I'm sorry. It was FEMA made a mid-course adjustment.
There you go.
Which implies that they had to lay out the groundwork in the beginning law to begin with, that they had to adjust.
Well,
that's
the implication of this is that gravity changed or the topographical contours of land changed, because I know people that were PhDs in watershed management from the University of Arizona. I know the kind of models that they built, and those don't change over time. The models for how water seeps down through the soil, the models for how water flows over the surface of the soil are inviolable across time because they're subject only to the laws of physics. These guidelines that FEMA is introducing have nothing to do with physics.
Kay, can I mention, before I let you go on, when the Oklahoma Water Resource Board was given the authority to examine the entire state, they defined several watershed planning regions, and these each have their own report. If you are living in Oklahoma, you might want to have your ears perked up. These are the regions, the watershed planning regions. It's the Panhandle, Southwest, West Central, Upper Arkansas, Middle Arkansas, that means the river, Grand, Lower Arkansas, Eufaula, Southeast, Blue Boggy, Lower Ouachita, Beaver Cache, and Central. So that covers the entire state. It's in some sort of a watershed planning region, and each of these are identified on the Oklahoma Water Resource Board website. And let's say we can just click on Upper Arkansas. And this particular report is 128 pages long. So each of those will have their own sub-report, which is a part of the larger overall. And you can examine in closer detail what your area the findings in your area. The David that we're talking about happens to live in the township of Skiatook, and the Margaret we were mentioning lives in a small town, outside of a small town called Ramona in South Washington County in the state of Oklahoma. So there's two FEMAs, by the way, right? There's FEMA with an E and FEMA with an I. You saw that, Kay, when you were doing your research?
I saw that, but I really didn't encounter the other acronym that much.
Well, I did. I stumbled across it, and I thought it was just a typo, and then I discovered, no, they're just trying to confuse us. That's an entity inside FEMA that deals with mitigation. So it's what, Flood Insurance Mitigation Administration or something like that?
Yeah, it's another alphabet, government alphabet thing. But it sounds the same when they introduce themselves.
Yep.
And I'm looking at the map on the Upper Arkansas Watershed Planning Region, and that's Osage County, Noble, Kay County. I'm looking to see if part of Tulsa County is here. We got Creek County, Lincoln County, Payne County, Logan County, Garfield, et cetera. So it is going to be important. You're going to have to look at the maps, these watershed regions, planning regions, to find out where you are located in the state of Oklahoma and to see what's been decided about where you live. And we're talking with Kay Beach, and you did a blog here, a blog post on your Axiom for Liberty, and the thing that I was noticing here is that this is not just a new thing. This has been going on for a while, and you gave him some instructions on how to get the flood map changed, which we've talked about with these letters. Is there any other way to get the flood map changed? Did you find
there's several ways, and that was a really good link in there, how to change a flood map. And you remember I told you could even do like earth moving and development. That I didn't think it was that easy to pull yourself out of a floodplain personally. That seemed weird to me.
Well, it shouldn't be if the floodplain meant something.
If you're in a floodplain, you can't just put some dirt in there and fill it in and ta-da, you're all done. But that's
But even
that's the thing.
Well, wait
yes.
a minute. But even, we've tried that, haven't we? Isn't that New Orleans?
That's right.
Put it in a bowl. Hey, that'll work.
But you sent out a post called your sub entry was a crowd of nearly 100 at the Graham County Community Center enthusiastically supported the rejection of the ordinance many said has devalued their property and made it unsuitable for construction. And that article goes on to explain how you can use local public activists or citizens working through your local community to push back.
That's right. And that's really what it's going to take in this case. You know, they'll go ahead and do whatever they want to until people holler. We have seen this before. And this is really, really something to holler about. I don't even know where to start as far as listing all of the damage that is being done and that will be done. But you lose your property rights and you lose that, that ability to control your property and the redefinition of your rights by the community, you've lost everything there.
You really
that
have.
That is the basis of our form of government and our philosophy of government in this country is that our rights come from our creator and they are inalienable.
Exactly.
So you've lost everything there. You cannot allow the community to define your rights and what adverse impact is. That is 180 degrees from where we are supposed to be.
Right, but you have to know first that your rights are being assaulted, and if this is being done in a stealth manner, like Margaret Snow found out, it was done without her knowledge. She didn't get a knock on the door and said, by the way, we're going to remap your property. She didn't find out till she went to the bank, the Arvest Bank in Ramona, to find out. And the gentleman whose name has come up in twice, both in David McLean's situation and on an email to Margaret Snow was Gavin Brady.
Right.
Gavin Brady is a certified floodplain manager. He works for the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, but he identified himself as with FEMA when he was talking to David McLean. So, and the other person who was with him was Matthew Rollins. So if you've been visited by either of these gentlemen or their compatriots, then you need to make note of that. And again, if you have had your property remapped as being in a flood zone, a zone A or other designation where you have not flooded before, we're not talking about legitimate flood areas, where this is a brand new designation for your area, gather your paperwork together, gather all of your notes, get the names and the business cards of those who visited you, their titles, their contact information, put that information together. And if you go to Axiom for Liberty or on the OK Safe blog, there is a contact information.
That's
there are two people that have put their names out there who will collect the information. It's a little bit of information. We have a third person who is going to be in, when this information is gathered together and we get maybe a dozen property owners, this information is going to be presented to Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General,
right,
who has agreed to look into this. But he said, get your paperwork together. So you may be outraged, but outrage ain't going to cut it. You have to actually have
push
your documentation.
Back. You've got to push.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you'll be paying for it for many, many years to come, and it has the potential effect of wiping out property rights in this country.
You also need to contact your state rep and your state senator because they're going to be examining the water issue in 2012, and they need to know from their constituents that this is a big, hairy problem and not to just take the report that's given to them by the Water Resource Board as gospel because there are serious flaws in this whole process. We're about done with this hour of America in the Balance. And, Kay, thank you again. We know how busy you are, and actually you weren't feeling well today, but we sure appreciate the fact that you took time to share your research on this subject. And I know you're going to be posting more information on Axiom for Liberty website. And you have a radio show yourself. Tell our listeners real quick.
Friday nights, every Friday from 6 to 8, you can find the information at axiomforliberty.com. And the only thing I want to say is for people to ask questions, demand answers, and know your rights. That's how you stop this. It's that easy.
Well,
it is that easy.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll
thank you both.
Have you back again. That's the music playing. Another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. We always thank you for your listening time, and may God bless you.